This is the Jill Bennett Show on 730 CKNW.
Well, as you've been hearing on the news, sex offender Randall Hopley has been rearrested, and this was shortly after he obtained statutory release from prison. He was released on Thursday morning from the Mission Institution, and he was directed to live at a halfway house in Vancouver. Police say that he refused the directions of his parole officer and left that halfway house. That led to a Canada-wide warrant to being issued, and he was arrested by Vancouver police yesterday afternoon. Well, yesterday, the premier was asked about this, and he did not hold back when saying how disappointed he was.
No, this is, this is outrageous. The last time Mr. Hopley was released, he terrified a family and the entire province. I can't fathom how he would be released again, and I'm also deeply disappointed that notification was not provided by Corrections Canada to the public.
That was Premier Eby talking about this case yesterday. Joining me now is Rob Danu, former federal Crown prosecutor, also criminal defense lawyer and co-founder of the Danu Dhaliwal Law Group and Case Counsel. Rob Danu, thank you for being with us today.
Happy Friday, Jill.
Happy Friday to you as well. The premier there expressing his disappointment with this, and I think the public as well, looks at the history of this person and the fact that he didn't follow the rules, once again walked away from a halfway house where he had been told he was supposed to live. Is this a breakdown of the system?
Well, Mr. Hopley is fast becoming, it appears to be, the poster boy for what some call the revolving door of our justice system. Now, I'll start with the silver lining. I'd like to start with the good news first, and that is, even if we disagree in terms of what should have happened on the front end, whether he should have been released or not, the system worked on the back end in that he violated his conditions on Thursday morning, and he was arrested by Thursday afternoon. So that's a good thing. In terms of whether it's a breakdown of our system, I think we need to understand why we have parole in the first place. Because the big question that folks have is, when someone is sentenced to, let's say, 3 years, why aren't they serving their full sentence? And to answer that question, we need to understand the purpose of parole. And ironically, the primary purpose of parole is to actually protect the public with a gradual and supervised release of individuals back to the community with conditions. Now, we have the system because we know that if someone serves that entire three-year sentence and is just released, they are far more of a danger to the public because typically the people who end up in jail already have difficult backgrounds, whether it's abuse, addiction, and mental health. So parole is meant to supervise those individuals, to protect the public, while also putting them on conditions to help them as well.
And I think in this case, why it's getting such reaction and people are questioning it, and the premier mentioned this yesterday, saying the last time Randall Hopley was released, he terrified a family. We know that he also, I think it was in 2023, he cut off his ankle monitoring device. He then left a facility. He was on the lam for about 10 days in 2023. I think then he showed up at a police station. But one of the questions being, and I get what you're saying, it's meant to ease people back into society, but if you have a history, if you have cut off your ankle monitoring device, why are you then still trusted to be out in society?
Yeah, and that's a great question. This is why the public is up in arms about individuals like Mr. Hopley. So Mr. Hopley was released on what's called statutory release. So that means by law, he was required to be released. This is baked into the system for exactly the purpose of parole that I explained. So what happens then is the parole board's fundamental mandate is to make sure that when an individual is released, that public safety is the overriding factor. But what there's very limited areas or factors that the parole board can consider as to when to revoke statutory parole, which is required by law. So Mr. Hopley would have had to present as someone who is at undue risk to society, and typically that involves somebody who is going to potentially cause death or serious harm, potentially be involved in a sexual offense of a child or a serious drug offense. So if we want to change that, we need to go back to Parliament and say we need to expand these factors that the parole board can consider in terms of what is an undue risk.
Right. But even in this case, if we look at last year and his history, it was last year he pleaded guilty to failing to attend court. He broke a long-term supervision order by being in the presence of children under the age of 16. He failed to comply with a supervision order. He didn't live at the facility where he was supposed to. That goes back to 2023. So if you break, and in this case, we're talking about keeping children safe. If somebody breaks a supervision order and is in the presence of children, isn't that enough to revoke their statutory release?
The issue is the language of the law, and the standard is just so high for statutory release to prevent that statutory release. So we really need to go back to the fundamental question as to whether the language is appropriate in terms of what the public is demanding these days. So should we have the language be so high where it's an undue risk? That's a very high standard. Should it be limited to those few factors, which is a sexual offense of a child, a serious drug offense, or something causing death or serious harm? The problem would be that in this case, the parole board would have assessed his immediate risk. So they're not looking back at everything else unless all of that prior information amounts to a risk that they see immediately if he's released on supervision. The other factor is that if they have conditions on Mr. Hopley which they feel can reduce that risk, that's also another reason to let him out in the public again where that risk is mitigated.
This is happening at the same time a couple of other stories, I think, have rightly so been getting a lot of reaction from people. This was a story, it was just in our newscast as well, that Johnny Walkus, a man who was the subject of a Canada-wide warrant, he also had failed to return to his halfway house. He has now been rearrested, according to Vancouver police. But there was a public alert put out that this person was on the lam. We've also heard about some recent attacks and a vicious assault that took place in Stanley Park. We now know more about the history of the suspect in that case. Is it the perception, because we're hearing more about these cases, it seems like there are people who would be deemed a high risk to reoffend. It seems like there are more of them being released.
It's really hard to say. Like, we're in the era of social media now, so we don't know in terms of the information we're being inundated with whether it's actually reflective of a higher increase in this type of crime or not, right? I think the main thing here is that we need to go back to our politicians and look for long-term solutions. And that requires them to get hard at work and rather than playing platitudes to these issues, actually change the legislation. If the public wants us to be tougher when it comes to parole or whether it comes to bail, we need to get to the heart of the matter, which is to change the laws while still complying with the charter and our basic rights and freedoms.
Right. And just to go back to the details again of the Stanley Park, the assault that took place in a change room. We know that the suspect who was arrested a short time later, he's been charged, I think, assault by choking, sexual assault with a weapon, robbery, unlawful confinement. He is also somebody who pleaded guilty to similar offenses in Surrey in 2022. So that's only 3 years ago. And this was, well, the plea was 3 years ago. The attack was 5 years ago in Surrey. Is that in line with sentencing, though? It just doesn't seem like that big of a sentence or penalty for such a vicious assault.
And the face, it doesn't, right? This is why the public is constantly expressing outrage and our politicians play that up. But the issue is that if individuals in the public actually went to court, they'll see what a difficult job that the judge has. And what we see is simply the headline that this guy did X offense and then repeated that offense. When all the facts are presented in terms of his background, whether there's mental health concerns, whether there's addiction, the judge is in a difficult place to balance all these factors in order to apply the law. So unfortunately, these situations are quite complicated. The outrage is certainly understandable, but we need to peel back the layers to really understand what's going on for any given case.
What about other tools? And we talked about ankle bracelets, and in this case, in the case of Randall Hopley, he cut his ankle bracelet off. This might be a bit of a side street to take from that. What are they made of that criminals are able to cut them off?
Well, the part that broadcasts the information is actually metal, but in terms of the cutting it off, I believe it's either going to be a cloth or some type of rubber bracelet. So it's not like it's some kind of metal bracelet which would chafe against the skin and be quite unwieldy. Okay. So yeah, you can cut it off, yes.
All right, so that's one tool that is used. What about things like dangerous offender status? Or like you said, there's a very high bar for revoking statutory release, but are there other tools that can be used?
Well, we should actually look at Ontario and BC. So leaving aside Doug Ford's talking about electing judges, which is complete rubbish, Ontario is actually taking some concrete steps to deal with these issues. So they've just brought in legislation which increases the collection of forfeited bail monies, which can then be utilized back into the system. They're now creating serious violent crime bail teams, which have dedicated prosecutors which work hand-in-hand with the police to look at the most prolific and repeat offenders. And they're also working towards establishing user fee systems so you can pay when you're in custody to have an ankle monitor fitted on you. So this is what we have to do. We have to look at innovative solutions. Technology has advanced so much. Use these technological advances, pour some more money into the system, and actually address the root causes of these issues.
You mentioned electing judges. You said that's rubbish. Why do you think that's rubbish?
Well, we just have to look south of the states in terms of why it's rubbish. The most important aspect of the judiciary is that it's independent. So in the states, we see when a judge rules, the first thing they look at is which president appointed that judge. Was it President Obama or President Trump? Because they know right away how that judge is going to rule, and that's simply not independent or objective.
I appreciate you explaining that, because I think what comes up is when we see rulings, like, and the one that comes to my mind is, and again, this was something that the Premier of BC talked about, it being disappointing, was the ruling of public drug use, and the judge, I think, overruling it, saying you couldn't ban it in playgrounds or parks. And I think that's what sparked or brought that debate back out, because, or this idea, I suppose, of ideology getting perhaps in the way of public safety.
Absolutely. We are, and I know it doesn't seem that way when we look at the news, but we are actually very blessed in terms of our criminal justice system. Countries from Europe across the world actually come to Canada to observe our judiciary and how it works. And it's not perfect. There's always room for improvement, and we should improve it wherever we can. But we are extremely blessed to have a relatively independent and objective and fair judicial branch.
Rob Danu, we'll leave it there for today. Thank you for joining us and for breaking down these different cases.
My pleasure.